Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight. My name is Doris Hansen, and it's a privilege for me to be the host of this program. The purpose of our show is to bring the polygamous beliefs of the early Mormon church, of the present-day polygamy groups, and of the present-day Mormon church and its leadership all under the scrutiny of pure Bible doctrine. We are broadcasting from Salt Lake City, Utah. Normally, this is a live television program, but tonight is a pre-recorded show, and we do hope that you'll enjoy it. It was a time where we had an opportunity, a window of opportunity for our guests, and so we decided we'd pre-record instead of do the live show. For questions and comments about the show, rather than calling in, you will need to email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we'd love to hear your comments and your questions about our program. All of our previous shows can be watched on streaming video on our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and you can also go there, whatloveisthis.tv/answers, and find the top questions that are asked on the show and their answers, so that if your question is there, then you won't need to ask the question again. And also, I'd like to remind our viewers, especially those who have been touched or affected by polygamy in any way, that we do have a discussion group, a support group. We meet every month, and it's usually the third Monday of each month at 6:30 p.m. We'd love to have you join us. We have found it's been very therapeutic for those who just need to talk or listen to other people's experiences, and it's been very helpful through these many months. And so you're invited. Just give us an email, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, for the details, and we would just love to have you come. We also have a website, shieldandrefuge.org. You can go there to find out more about our ministry. You can find out more about polygamy there. You can also donate to our ministry on that website. You can find out about our resources. We have a DVD that we offer free, and also a book on polygamy. And you can find out how you can get that free by going onto the website. And if you're in a polygamy group and you'd like information about how we can help you, we'll even help you leave the group if that's what you want to do. Just give us a call on our toll-free number. It's 877-425-9993. Everything that we talk about will be held in confidentiality, and we would love to talk to you. Just remember, however, tonight's show is pre-recorded. Don't call into the studio. There will be no one here to answer your phone if you do call in. If you have questions or comments on the program tonight, just email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we would be happy to hear from you, and we will answer your question either by return email or perhaps on a future show. Now, I have a question that I would like to ask both our Mormon viewers and our Mormon fundamentalist viewers. And the question is this: which of us are authentically doomed to become sons of perdition? You see, the LDS Church teaches that those who leave their church and have given up all hopes of salvation, they have known the truth and they've turned their backs on it, so they teach that they will become sons of perdition. And the polygamists, at least most of them, also teach that those who turn their backs on polygamy and leave the polygamy group, they will become sons of perdition. Now, the present-day Mormon church is in apostasy to the original teachings of Joseph Smith, its founder and prophet, and especially regarding polygamy. But the present-day polygamy groups are living Mormonism according to the teachings of Joseph Smith. So who are the sons of perdition? Those who have left Mormonism, or those who have left the polygamy groups? Now, to help us answer that question and many more, I'd like to introduce our special guests. One of our guests is an ex-Mormon church member, and he was threatened when he decided to leave the Mormon church, that he was threatened with becoming a son of perdition when he left, just as I was threatened to become a son of perdition when I left the polygamy group. And I'd like to introduce his wife also. I don't know if she's going to become a son of perdition, because I don't think she was part of the Mormon church or polygamy. So I'd like to introduce Rocky and Helen Holtz as our guests tonight. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
We're glad to be here.
Happy to be here.
We're certainly glad you're here. Now, you were a sixth generation Mormon?
Born and raised in the church, sixth generation on dad's side, fourth generation on mom's.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in a staunch Mormon household, very, very active in the church. We were Sunday, all day on Sunday, of course, mutual on Wednesday, and all the other things that go with it, going to the welfare farm to hoe weeds and all the other things involved in all the sports programs with the church, basketball, softball, volleyball.
Eagle Scout.
Yeah, I was an Eagle Scout, all the things that go along with,
with
being active in the church.
We're going to go through your story, of course, how you met and all of that. But once you did leave, you had such a heart for those left behind who are following false doctrine that you have begun a ministry to the Mormons. Would you explain the name of your ministry and any resources that are available for those who might be interested in following through on your ministry?
Well, we started, I got saved back in 1986. And, of course, immediately reached out to my family because I wanted them to see what I had found. Here's all this evidence. Here's all this research that I did. Take a look at this. My parents didn't willfully deceive me,
right.
if you will. My parents simply taught me what they were taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I go in and start to investigate some of these things, and found out that they weren't what I was brought up to believe or what I was told, then of course I wanted to show that to my family, to my parents and other family members. Hey, look at this. You taught me X, and X is really Y. It's not how you said it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, initially after I got saved, I reached out to family, and that went over like a lead balloon.
Mm-hmm.
They were not very receptive to that. And down the road, through the years, wherever we went, we always engaged Mormons in discussion. In the various churches, because I was career Navy, so mm-hmm. as we transferred around the country and out of the country, because we lived down in Puerto Rico for 3 years, in the different Christian groups, congregations, whatever that we were associated with, was never shy about saying, "Hey, I was born and raised Mormon, and got saved, and now I'm a born again Christian," and so we had plenty of opportunities to share that experience, mm-hmm. and how we came out of how I came out of Mormonism, and how Helen got saved trying to become a Mormon. That's a funny story, but
that is a good story.
But that's she got saved, and then I set out to do what any red blooded all American male should do. I set out to prove my wife was wrong,
mm-hmm.
and in the process found out that the Jesus that she had found was the real Jesus,
right?
Not this false Jesus of Mormonism,
mm-hmm.
and long story short, in the year 2002, January of 2002, we stood up officially our ministry, Mormon Missions Midwest Outreach.
Mm-hmm.
We call it MMMO for short. Helen is the guru of the websites, and she spends a lot of time on Facebook. We do a lot of Facebook ministry, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you talk about all that stuff?
Well, essentially what we do in our ministry, we not only speak in churches and share our testimony and things like that, but I'm available all the time, as he is too, to answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, and sometimes I'm on the phone for the last conversation was a 5-hour phone conversation.
Wow.
From England.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
So that part, and so we speak in churches, we share our testimony and being so different, being him raised LDS, me being raised in no religion. Uh-huh. And so we do that in our ministry. The other is that we're there available to provide information, to provide documentation, and, mm-hmm. and we don't tell people what to believe. We ask them to look at the evidence.
Right.
And that's the most important part.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Is that we are not, God didn't call us to how he did me out of the world and him out of the LDS church to tell someone else, this is what you have to believe, but to search the truth out
mm-hmm.
for yourself.
Just check it out. Mm-hmm. That's what we
and
try
so
to do.
And so that's exactly what we do as far as a mm-hmm. ministry itself. Mm-hmm. Is that our website is there for people to go for resources. We're there to talk on the phone. We're there to go into churches and speak mm-hmm. and come okay. and be on shows like
awesome.
This.
Yes, yeah, we do appreciate
and
that.
And our website,
too.
By the way, is www.mormonoutreach.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an interesting blog that's called Mormon Home Evening.
Yes.
And
a lot of interaction on that one.
I'll bet you do. So, yeah. I'll bet that's interesting.
We have a few people log on to that thinking it's Family Home Evening and it's Mormon Home Evening.
Uh-huh.
But there's information there and interaction. And that's really, I think it's something that today people want to do. It's like we're not taking any phone calls tonight. Mm-hmm. on tonight's program, but they can email those, and it's the same thing on the internet.
Just the interaction.
There are people out there who have questions,
yeah,
and they want answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have lots of questions, and unfortunately what we hear constantly from people is, I've gone to my bishop, I've gone to my home teachers,
yeah.
I've talked to family, whatever. No one will answer this question. So what is the question
yeah.
to this,
yeah.
be it about polygamy
and,
or be
right.
it about whatever,
right. mm-hmm.
and they're looking for answers. And here's the information. Here's what you're looking for.
Without challenging, and
right.
you know, we find a lot, especially with this program, that people want to ask questions, but they don't want anybody else to know they're asking.
Oh, well, certainly.
So
they'll
use an alias or the email, and
mm-hmm.
so no one will know it's them mm-hmm. asking. Which is fine.
It is
That's
fine.
Fine. Let them do it anonymously.
Absolutely.
Just ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start with your spiritual journey. You you met your wife, and she wasn't any religion. And
she was a heathen.
She was a heathen,
yeah,
and you were a Mormon and a holy Mormon, and you had a very staunch LDS uh-huh. upbringing. You met each mm-hmm. other. You were in the Navy, and you had never heard of Mormonism before or
no.
Mormons, and so your first response to what you thought Mormons were.
Well, my first response to it, of course, was the encounter. He didn't tell me he was a Mormon when I met him, so right from the onset, there was no reason to, because we hadn't been dating that long. And my introduction to meeting those that was his family, which is LDS, was him taking me to Phoenix and to meet his family and pick up a pickup truck, and not walking right into the home. His mother was here in Utah visiting family, and it was just Rocky and me and his dad and his younger brother. And the whole house filled up with people. His mother flew home, and I just thought, these are the nicest people on the planet. They're so warm and loving, and they're so friendly and all of this. And that night after everybody left, I went to bed because I'd been in a horrible car accident, and I had a body brace on from my mm-hmm. armpits all the way down past my hips. I'd been in a very serious mm-hmm. car accident. And I went to bed, and I'm thinking, my goodness, what a nice bunch of people. And the next morning, there was a phone call. They kept Rocky up all
night.
Yeah,
unbeknownst to her, she goes goes in and goes to bed in my little brother's room. And my parents kept me up till about 2 o'clock in the morning. and they were just, you know, raking me over the coals. You know, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Why are you dating this girl? You know that you were born into a Mormon family, so you were a valiant warrior in the pre-existence. You know, you were privileged to be born into a Mormon home. So, and you know, because of that, that just shows that you were this valiant warrior. She wasn't born into a Mormon family, so she could not have been as valiant as you. So why are you dating this girl? You should be dating a Mormon girl, because that is who you would have chosen in the pre-existence. You know, what are you thinking? I mean, yeah. Was, you know, they were, you know, adminent about
so
it.
So you were on the defensive while she was in there sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and the next morning we went over for me to pick up a new pickup truck. You know, rodeoing, and every cowboy needs a new pickup truck. So so we were going over there to get my new truck, and I left early in the morning to go get it. And of course, I knew there was trouble on the horizon.
Yeah.
So I called back to the house, and you know, my mom answered the phone and said, "Hey, Mom, you know, could you go get Helen?" And when she got on the phone, I said, "You know, Helen, we may have a little problem here. You know, my parents are none too happy that we are dating, and so I'll be done in about an hour or so, and I'll come get you. I just want to give you a little heads up, you know." And so when she gets off the phone, dun 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 dun.
Well, the knock came on the door from his mother, and she said her voice had changed from the night before. She'd been this very loving, warm, receptive. How are you? Where are you from? Sweet woman, along with everybody else, but her voice was completely different when she said, "Rocky is on the phone." So I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. And I had to walk through the living room into the kitchen to answer the phone, and that's when he told me that. And I'm going, "What can possibly be wrong?" Hmm. And I hung the phone up, and I had to go back through the living room to get back to the bedroom. And of course, his mom was standing in the living room, and even though we've been married 30 years, it's as if it was yesterday. She had her arms folded, and she was there, and she was looking at me, and she approached me right to my face, and she said, "I know you're kind." And she said, "If you think for one moment that this family will ever allow you to come into this family or to continue dating our son, or if you think you'll ever marry into this family, you have another thing coming. We will put a stop to it." Hmm. And I stood there, and I didn't say a word, not a word.
Which is amazing.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. At that particular time and juncture in my life, I'm surprised she's not still laying on the floor.
Oh, my.
It was amazing, but I didn't say a word back. I just stood there, and I took it, and I thought, but my mind is thinking, she doesn't know me, mm-hmm. and she's saying all these things. And I walked into the room, closed the door, and waited for him to come pick me up. And it was on that long drive back from Phoenix to San Diego, where I lived, that he told me for the first time that he was a Mormon. And what went through my mind is, well, I thought all Mormons lived in Utah, and they had a lot of wives.
That's all you knew about Mormons.
That was it. I didn't know. And I certainly didn't understand why the reaction from his family when we really weren't seriously dating.
Yeah.
And how
old were you when
25.
And they were telling you who you couldn't marry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been in the Navy for 7 years at that point, and just got back from overseas and Persian Gulf the first time.
Goodness.
1978.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was your reaction when your family treated her like this?
Well, it took me really by surprise. I did not think that this was going to happen. In fact, the whole trip back to San Diego, and we were driving back, I was trying to explain to her, you know, why this nuclear meltdown. I mean, you know, I tried to provide some kind of an explanation of why this happened, and it surprised me. I wasn't quite prepared for it.
We were not seriously dating, so I think that surprised me. But he really didn't expect his family for me to encounter what mm-hmm. I encountered.
Yeah.
He would have never taken me over there and put me through that. But the result of that was we broke up on the way back. By the time we reached San Diego, I said, I'll see you later. And he essentially said, I don't think I'll be dating you. So we did. We broke up.
Yeah, how long did you stay broken up? You just couldn't
stand it?
No,
it was a few months.
To put it his way is that I couldn't.
She couldn't stand it. She called me.
Not true. He was in Long Beach and I was in San Diego. So we were a distance apart, but we kept running into each other. And, God knew.
Yeah, in the background working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. We know the God. We can look back and know that God was in the background working.
But we didn't see it then.
Manipulating the circumstances. And, I think about this sometimes. I'm so glad God doesn't take sides. He just takes over.
That is a good way to put it, because we certainly didn't see any godly anything in the middle of all that.
So you decided to brave the challenge and get married. Mm-hmm. And
well, yeah, we got married at complete objection to my family.
I think it's important to explain that part.
The night before we got married, my mom, my dad, my sister, my oldest brother, were all on the phone saying, if you marry this woman, you are ruining your life. Mm-hmm. There's no way this could be the woman that you chose in the pre-existence to be your wife. You are ruining your life if you marry her. And so we got married anyway and moved off. The Navy transferred us off to Virginia.
That's probably a blessing, wasn't it, to get away?
It was to get that distance in there. Mm-hmm. And then when we'd been in Virginia for about a year, and then in complication of pregnancy, we lost a child. Mm. Well, that gave me an in, see. And so I thought, okay, hey, So I go to Helen, who is an emotional wreck at this point, and I say to her, well, Helen, if you'll take the missionary lessons and you'll join the church, then we can be married in the temple, and we'll have that child in eternity. Families are forever, and we'll be able to raise that child, in the next life. And to a woman who is hurting, who's just lost a child, she was receptive. So that was how I got her to agree to take the missionary lessons, and thus began the process. Mm-hmm. As part of that. Helen was very questioning and didn't feel her questions were being answered. And so when the missionaries popped the golden question, do you want to be baptized? She said, no. And I said, what? what is your problem? What do you mean, no? I couldn't believe it. Here the missionaries from the only true church on the face of the earth have just given you these missionary lessons and you're rejecting it. What is the matter for you?
Their brain was engaged.
Yeah.
Now, you said something to him, though, before you quite got that far, that if you wanted to take up religion, his God would do.
And then he kind of skipped over it. But before we got married, there was two things that transpired between the two of us. One was he was in the Navy. And I did not want to be a Navy wife. And I made that perfectly clear that, yes, we're going to get married, I love you, but I am not cut out to be a Navy wife. I don't want to be a Navy wife. So are you getting out of the Navy? And he said yes. I simply forgot to ask when, because 33 years later,
he
got out.
33 years, I got out
so
eventually.
That was the question that I asked him, because I did not want to leave San Diego. I didn't want to leave California. That was my life. And the thing that was his life was the church. And so he said to me, you have to understand, Helen, how important the LDS, how important the Mormon church is, what he said, is to me. And I said, well, I don't care. I said, I could care less. I said, if I don't want to hear about God, which I don't, your God will do. So I didn't care.
Yeah,
I had never gone to church.
You didn't have a clue what
I didn't have
that's,
a clue
that's where she
what
was.
I was saying.
It was a very honest answer.
Yeah.
So it was an honest answer to him.
And that's good. And you knew where she stood with all that.
Well, he did know. And I didn't care. It wasn't that I didn't believe that there was something out there, but I didn't care. And I didn't want to hear. And I said, if I ever do, your God will do.
I'll choose your God, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you started questioning. And you questioned the home teachers and some of the things, and they kind of gave you
It was the missionaries.
I took the LDS missionary lessons, because he took me to the Washington, D.C. temple, and I went through the video things that they take you through, signed up for the lessons, and so he took me to that. And so, of course, then came right out to the house, and I began. He ran down and got me my 3-in-1 and my King James Bible, and so I sat up and I was taking the official lessons to convert to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it was is that as I began those, the number one thing that made me start questioning was them telling me that the Book of Mormon was absolutely the truth, completely the truth. But that other book that they were putting in my hands, which was a Bible, which I was not to read except to verify the other things, was not true. And my mind is thinking, well, wait a minute. How can you tell me one is true and the other isn't, but you're giving me both to read? And so I just read what I was told, but I was disobedient in that I read more than I was told to read. Way disobedient.
Some things never change. Yeah. You know,
So I did. And I asked a lot of questions, and I was told mm-hmm. different things by the missionaries during those lessons, that I was not praying correctly,
mm-hmm.
that I needed to be a little more submissive and humble, and that I needed to come with a more teachable spirit. And I mean, I was just, all these things were being reinforced. And so, and I would take notes. I had sort of a little notebook, and when they would come back a week later, I had lots of questions. And I was told that I was asking too many questions. And so I didn't really say anything until the end of the lessons, when it comes time for your baptism. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's when you're ready to be baptized.
Yeah.
And my answer was no.
You didn't have your answers
for
that. Now, this is the first religious teachings you'd ever had
in my whole life.
In your life.
I'd never had a Bible in my hands before. I'd certainly never had a Book of Mormon in my hands, but no, I'd never been through the doors of a church.
Yeah, interesting. Very mm-hmm. interesting. Is how God reaches, mm-hmm. reaches through mm-hmm. and talks
and
to you.
And you know, the other thing was that after, when I said no, of course, Rocky was very upset. When I said no, he was very upset. The missionaries, I mean, they weren't quite as vocal about it as he was. But the next thing that came was the visit to the house from the bishop and his wife. And that too, even though today's 2010, and that was back in 1981, the bishop sat in our home, in our living room, and said to me, "Helen, we have 3 psychiatrists in the ward, and one will be more than happy to meet with you."
Oh,
now,
my goodness.
I was not only being told all these other things, but I was also being told that there was something mentally wrong with me, because I wasn't getting it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was just devastated. And here I am, away from all my friends in California, and I'm in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
I don't know a soul. I'm out there. I have no friends. I have no family. I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
I've married a man whose family hate me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told all these things by the leadership of the church and my husband, and I don't know where to go or where to turn.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, very hard time.
That would be very distressing. Did, mm-hmm. did you take exception to the fact that they thought she needed a psychiatrist, or did you think so?
Well, I mean, you know, she just received the missionary lessons from the only true church on the face of the earth and rejected it. Obviously, she was out of her mind. I mean, I just, I couldn't.
That was his reaction.
I mean, that's the way I was. I mean, that is just true. I was like, Helen, what is the matter with you?
Don't
I couldn't understand why she didn't get it.
Yeah.
I think probably some of the things his parents were saying about me was beginning to ring true. It's like, she's just not the right one.
No, that was a total foreign concept to me, because, you know, being raised in the Mormon church being taught from when I was knee-high to a toadstool and fully believed that the Mormon church was the only true church on the face of the earth. I mean, here's truth being presented to her, and why can't she understand
mm-hmm.
it? That did not compute. I couldn't get my hands around that. And
I can understand that too. Now, you were still grieving over your child too, so
right.
you were having
mm-hmm.
some emotional distress
sure.
from
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very devastating. It's like I said, all that had happened, and then all of this other. And it wasn't that what I was reading that I understood that was really, really wrong, because I didn't have the background to figure out what it was, but something mm-hmm. just didn't right. And the thing that I wasn't being asked, that my questions weren't being answered, that was troubling me the most, because I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
That's really what I wanted. I wanted to know why, and why these things didn't fit.
You know how many dozens, hundreds of times we hear that over and over again. My questions weren't being answered. Mm. No one would answer my questions. Mm-hmm. They said, your faith mm-hmm. is too little because you're asking the question. On and on and on the excuses
sure.
go.
Well, mm-hmm. that, all the fingers point back to you. You know,
yes,
you know, there's something the matter with
fault.
You. That's why you're asking all these questions.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I looked at it in that regard. And, you know, Helen looked outside. I mean, she wasn't getting any support from me. She obviously wasn't getting any answers from the missionaries and from the Mormon church structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went to a Christian bookstore for more information, and she
well,
got
not
her,
deliberately to a Christian bookstore because
well,
I didn't
no.
know they
That's
existed.
Just where you ended up.
Yeah, it's where she ended up. Jesus Books, imagine that.
Jesus Books. The name of the store was Jesus Books.
And she got her hands on, she bought Gerald and Sandra Tanner's book, The Changing World of Mormonism, because she thought...
But you know, the thing of it is that when I bought that book, yeah. I didn't know I was doing something wrong. I did not. And I looked through all the books that were there, and I looked on the back, and because it said Sandra Tanner, the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, I thought, oh, this will be okay
oh,
to buy.
Sure.
I thought, this well, is going to be a great
Rocky
book.
Rocky will like that
Rocky
book.
Rocky will like that book.
You know, not.
Like I'm trotting in the house with that book thinking, oh, my goodness.
You were
you know.
Proud of yourself
oh,
on
I
that
was,
one.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness. Well, she got a real reaction when she brought that
yeah,
one home.
Yeah, it came flying across the room the first time right out of my hand and goes,
oh.
what are you?
She, you know, she was so proud. You know, look at this book that I bought. I picked that thing up and I looked at it, and instantaneously, you know, bing, bing, alarm bells, doo, 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 general quarters. You know? I mean, anti-Mormon material in my house. And just so, I mean, I took that thing and whoosh, I sailed it across and get this anti-Mormon material out of my house.
And
I mean,
just,
I was.
I didn't know what to think. I
bet you did.
I didn't know what to think. I thought, what have I done? Again, what have I done.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, it's all your fault.
And then I set out to do what any all-American red-blooded male should do.
Not instantly. It was after I read the book.
Prove my wife was wrong, okay? And in the process, I proved that, you know, she was right. What the information in that book is accurate. I couldn't deny it. The evidence mm-hmm. is there. I mean, here it is. Hardcore
They've got
proof.
All the proof
here
there,
it
don't
is.
They? All the footnotes are there.
And, yeah, and so...
Well, I think that one of the things that made him so angry about that book, which I have to share with the folks, is that I probably used, I don't know how many boxes of yellow highlighter
uh-huh.
marking yes. that book up and then writing little notes in the margin, and then I'd leave it strategically open around the
house. She was so subtle in her approach.
Yeah, I can
know.
Tell.
So he would come home from work and a little thing in the margin would say, well, how can you believe this?
Yeah, what about this? Yeah. I can't believe you believe this. You know, arrows, stars, you know. Yeah, she was subtle.
That's where the bells and whistles came in. Huh?
Just a little.
So
now, would you recommend people who are looking and questioning, would you recommend that they would buy that book?
Well, absolutely.
Uh-huh. So, you know, it's out of print now, but...
Yeah, it is out of print, but there are other books and resources.
But you can still get it.
Well,
uh-huh.
you can get the
Big one, which you got.
I think they could go to utlm.org.
Yeah, utlm.org, and you can get Mormonism: Shadow or Reality,
and
which is the largest.
The book.
It's the amplified version of the other, you know.
I'm glad I didn't buy that big book. That would hurt.
But see, I got my hands on that, and I love that. You know, Shadow Reality is, you know, Mongo, mm-hmm. you know, it's a great big thing. But there's all the evidence.
It's all
and evidence is what it is.
Right.
Facts are what they are. You know, there's no such thing as a true fact and a false fact.
Right.
A fact is a true event or statement mm-hmm. or evidence.
Right.
And so facts are what they are. And when you start studying Mormonism, the facts tear it apart.
Mm-hmm.
What I was raised on, what I was taught in my Sunday school class, isn't it mutual and primary and all of those things, and home evening by my parents, you know, my parents did not willfully deceive me.
They were deceived too.
They
Absolutely.
Didn't teach me what something that they thought was false. They taught me what they were taught.
Mm-hmm.
They just simply didn't know that, oh my gosh, there are 9 different versions of the first vision. they only knew of one. Mm-hmm. I only knew of one until, here's the evidence. Well, Joseph on this occasion, really, the first time, he didn't say that God the Father appeared. Yeah. It was only Jesus. And, you know, and several other times he said it was just angels. And well, if the first vision really happened, then why all these virgins?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's hard to keep a lie straight. That's why all the virgins.
That's why the problem with...
Yeah.
Well, and it's like with polygamy. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like denying the fact that that Joseph practiced polygamy. It is denied. It mm-hmm. was denied. And it mm-hmm. was... Because we're talking about 81 and 82 and...
In Gerald and Sandra's book, when they bring that part out about polygamy, I mean, for me, I was taught that Joseph never practiced it. These were all just wives that were sealed to him after his death.
After his death, mm-hmm.
yeah.
You know, that he didn't really practice it during his life. He was, you know, monogamous with Emma.
With Emma.
Oh, not
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I didn't know any different. And mm-hmm. in fact, you know, and that's where... you know, that information in The Changing World of Mormonism, that book by the Tanners, it shook me to my socks. Because
did.
I had never seen this material. Mm-hmm. And of course, I told her, piece of cake. You know, I'll tear this book apart. You know?
Awesome.
I'll just tear it right in half. You know? I mean, it was going to be easy
there,
for me because I was so steeped and so believed that the Mormon Church was the only true church on the face of the earth. And of course, it would stand up to scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't.
It can't.
Because the facts are what they are. It's not what I was told and what I was taught is not reality. It's not truth.
Yeah.
No,
there was a point when you suggested that he leave Mormonism and you just become Christians and he got in your face. And
oh, that was before we left Virginia to go back to California. And I had become a Christian. And what happened at that point... and it was the lady, I met a lady at the bookstore the day I bought that book, and all she did was give me her phone number and wrote her name down, and so she gave me her phone number, and during the process, before we got transferred back to California, this woman called me every day. She was a Christian. Her name was Sandy Smith. And she called me every day and invited me, and I went to a Bible study. Well, during that process, just before we were getting transferred back to California, which I didn't know was going to happen, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and
Praise
had
God.
Become a Christian.
Yeah.
And
well, I come home from work, okay, and I walk in the house that evening, and Helen is just bing, 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 and she is ricocheting off of the wall.
She's all over the place.
Yeah, she's just like, I am saved, you know, and I said, you're a freak, you know, what are you talking about,
saved? That's why they call it Jesus
you know?
Freaks.
Huh? Yeah, oh, yeah. He did. I mean, he said that to me.
I did. I said, you're a freak, you know, and that friend of yours, she is a Jesus freak, you know, I mean, and
she went to a Methodist church.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, those Methodists,
that's,
pure heathens,
wild,
you know, I mean.
Pretty, wild, Jesus freaking Methodists,
yeah,
I'll tell
absolutely.
You what.
Yeah.
But the thing of it was, is that's what he said to me, and I just looked at him. And the question that you asked was, I mean, I looked at him, I said, why are you so upset with me? What did I do? I said, I've just become a Christian like you. And when
and
I called
when she
him
said
a
that
Christian,
to me, I looked at her and I said, don't you dare call me a Christian.
Yeah, I'm jumping now.
I am not a Christian.
I'm going, well, no.
I said, I'm a Mormon, and you better figure that out. You better get that through your head.
Wow.
And that's the mild version.
Wow.
That is the
that's
mild version.
That's the mild version,
mm-hmm.
huh? Now, I have a question with that, naturally.
Sure.
We know, when we study the facts of early Mormonism, they did not want to be Christian or called Christian, referred to a Christian, and they demeaned Christianity every chance they got.
I was raised in Phoenix, okay? So in Phoenix, Arizona, you know, 1960s and 70s, we did not want to be called Christians. We were Mormons. Why would we want to be associated with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so that was the mindset.
So for me to say that to him,
that was pretty demeaning.
Absolutely. And he just came unhinged. Don't you? Trust me, I never called him a Christian again.
So now it's the other way around. They'll get in your faces say, we're Christians.
It's completely,
don't call us Mormon.
It's 2010, and it's completely reversed.
Yeah.
It's we don't want to be called. What do you mean? We are Christians.
How dare you say we're not Christians?
We're Christians.
Of course
just
we're
like
Christians.
You.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, ixnay. You know, I can remember when I was in 7th or 8th grade, at the school I was at, there was some of my buddies there at the school were involved in a Boy Scout troop at a Methodist church. And they wanted to, they
Methodist.
Knew that, you know, I was very involved in Boy Scouts or whatever, and my best friend, Paul McKernan, you know, we were, you know, I was the senior patrol leader, and he was my assistant as senior patrol leader, and, you know, we were the great scout guys, you know. And they wanted to have a joint camp out. And so they were talking to us about it. Well, why don't we get together, and why don't our troops go have a, you know, a joint camp out? So I went to my scout master, and it was like, no way.
No.
We would never do anything with the Methodists. You know, they are not. Oh, I mean, but
see,
today it is.
Oh, it's all so ecumenical.
Oh, yes, let's do all this. Let's do all these joint things
we're
together.
Just another
not when I was growing up in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Nay, nay, nay.
Yeah. And you know, it's the opposite here because the Boy Scouts were run by the Mormon Church here, and
right.
the Christians would often be the ones that were mm-hmm. left out and mm-hmm. wouldn't be allowed in.
Yeah.
I want to ask you some questions after you became. Well, let's talk about how you became a Christian, and then I'll go to the
well,
questions I have.
Well, she got saved, and I had a cow. I did. I mean, I went into hernia overload. I mean, I'm serious, and I couldn't understand this. And then literally, we're not making this up. When she told me you are a freak.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. Well, we get transferred back out to California. And she would go to church, and I really didn't want anything to do with that. But I would go every once in a while. But it was just to get ammunition, because
to make fun.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, we would come home from
yes.
church, and I'm like, ah, I can't believe you believe that stuff. You see him passing a plate, everybody had tape on their fingers, and they're taking the money out. You know, I mean, I'm serious.
That was
me,
mm-hmm.
and that is my attitude. That's how mm-hmm. I approached it. And so I really mocked her belief in Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I mocked her being saved, mm-hmm. you know, that, mm-hmm. that concept being saved. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, bah. And so make a long story short, we had been out and back in California for a year, year and a half or something like that. And we saw the thing for a billboard for a rodeo. So I told her, I said, we haven't been to rodeo in forever. Because when we met, I was riding bulls for the Navy. I was bull riding. And so we went to the rodeo, and they kept saying at the rodeo that they're going to have cowboy church there the next day. So the next morning, Sunday morning, she gets up. She's putting on her duds to go to Baptist church she was going to. Oh, Baptist, heathens.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was getting ready to go to church. And I said to her, I said, hey, why don't we go to this cowboy church?
I couldn't believe it.
Well, I'll bet you fell on the ground.
I took off running down the hall is what I did to take my skirt or dress, whatever, and put my Wranglers on. And I come running back
grab
out.
Him as soon as you could.
I had no idea what a cowboy church was, and I didn't care. He's just going to go.
He was going to go. Awesome.
So off we went.
So we go to the rodeo and to the rodeo grounds, and at this cowboy church, we get out of the truck. And there's this fellow standing off to the side who looks like he just stepped out of the 1800s. I mean, he is bow-legged, you know. He's got his big old mule brimmer hat on, big old cowboy mustache down the bottom of his jaws, couple days' growth. His face looked like a saddle. It was just leather.
Oh, my
you know?
Goodness.
And but he ends up being the pastor, if you will. He wasn't a pastor. He had a ministry, two cowboys. He was a rough-riding, whiskey-drinking, tough cowboy when he got saved. And so his ministry was to go to the rodeos and minister to the cowboys. He'd get back behind the chutes and pray with cowboys before they'd ride.
Nice.
Well, he approached, when this cowboy church was over, I wanted out of Dodge. I'm like, woof, we're out of here. Well, he heads me off at the pass, so to speak, and one thing leads to another. He's talking. He gives me his business card with on directions how to get to his house, and he says, I have Bible study in my house every Friday night. And I'm like, Roger that, okay? Shoot, you know, see you later, dude. And the next week, I'm out at sea all week with the Navy training ships. Where I come in Friday night, and when I get home, I tell Helen, I said, let's go to that Bible study.
I couldn't believe it. I was just stunned.
This is amazing.
I was just stunned. Yes. I could not believe you.
And so we ended up going to this Bible study for a year, more than a year, whatever. Yeah. And Brent didn't know anything about Mormonism, but what Brent did know was God's Word.
The Bible.
Mm-hmm. And he knew it sideways, backwards, forwards, and he poked me in the eye with it on more than one occasion.
Oh, man. And on more than one Friday night, he said, we're never going back.
We went back again.
We
kept going back. And so Brent showed me what I'd never seen before, and that was God's Word. And he showed me who Jesus Christ was in God's Word.
That was so
and
awesome.
So about 15 minutes into January the 1st, 1986, Brent and Janet had come up to our house for New Year's Eve, and they're getting ready to leave, and I just told Brent, I said, you know, Brent, I know that I know.
It's time to make a decision.
And so we prayed that night, and I received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so it makes it easy for me to remember my birthday, you know, January the 1st. You know,
that's a good way to start the new year.
Huh? Absolutely. I think it's incredible.
You don't have to make any New Year's resolutions. God just takes over at that point. Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting that at that bookstore in Virginia, it was a lady by the name of Sandy Smith that helped me become a Christian and to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then we moved to the West Coast, and it's an old cowboy named Brent Smith. So I didn't join Joseph Smith's church, and he came out of Joseph Smith's church. By a Smith.
So the guy has a sense of humor.
Sense
all
of
these
humor
Smiths involved there,
here,
you know. Yeah,
funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. In the course of doing this program, I have opportunity to talk to several different people from different walks of life and different backgrounds and phone calls and interviews and so on. And we met a sweet lady several months ago, interviewed her on the show, and she had come out of Mormonism as well. But she talked so much about how much the early Mormon doctrine of polygamy had a bearing on her when she first started doing the studying that you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that I would mention some of the things that had impacted her so heavily and see if it had any bearing on you when you were doing your studies too.
Mm-hmm.
And you answered one of the questions already. Did you know that Joseph Smith was a polygamist? You know, even when I was raised in polygamy group, I didn't know Joseph Smith was a polygamist. Mm-hmm. I kind of assumed he maybe might have been because he taught it, but I had no idea that he was. Mm-hmm.
No,
did you?
Well, for me, and you said, I went to seminary in high school, and I can remember in church history, which is one of your years of seminary in the Mormon Church, that on that particular subject, it was taught that Joseph never practiced polygamy, that all of the wives, Joseph's wives, were added to him after death in sealing ceremonies in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
That polygamy was never really practiced until the church was run out of Nauvoo and went to Utah, and there in Salt Lake is where it was first practiced.
Hmm.
And that is simply not true.
That's a bold-faced lie.
That is simply not true.
And the Mormon historians know that, very, very, very well know that.
Mm-hmm.
What about, were you taught why they were practicing polygamy, which is still, this lie is still perpetrated today, and the people who are teaching it are either terribly uninformed or they know they're being deceiving.
Right.
And that is that they lived polygamy because there were more women than men in the population, or because there were more widows and they had to take them under their wing, you know, take care of them.
And that's not true, but that is...
That's what you were taught.
Mm-hmm. That is the reason, one of the primary reasons that polygamy was practiced here in Utah. But then, if, you know, if I kind of think back about it logically, it didn't make sense as to then why was it stopped. My father always told me that the reason that polygamy was stopped was because the people couldn't live it. They were unfaithful. And so God pulled the principle away because the Mormon church as a whole were not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't living it properly. They couldn't handle it, and so he took it away to bring it back at, you know.
Well, the polygamists believe that part of that's true, that they did take it away because the Mormons weren't worthy, and they gave it to them because they are.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, there you go.
There you go. What about when Joseph Smith was tarred and feathered? Did you realize or did you check into it even afterwards, that the reason that he got tarred and feathered was because he was messing around
with Fanny Alger.
With the Johnson girl.
Oh,
the Johnson
okay,
was
yes.
one of them. But
well,
you know,
I had no. I mean, in my all of that information was
persecution.
Was after when I was studying and had my hands on documents that provided that information. That information certainly is not provided in any of the textual material that I ever received mm-hmm. from the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I was fully indoctrinated. I was a PMS Mormon. Okay, a PMS Mormon is the persecuted Mormon syndrome. You know, I had PMS. I believed that all persecution against Mormonism
right.
was because of religious persecution. That is just simply not the case. Mormons weren't persecuted, and if there's any Mormons watching right now, the reality is Mormons weren't being persecuted because of their religious beliefs.
Right.
There were all kinds of different religions and different religious groups around the country at the time of Mormonism that weren't being persecuted as the Mormons were, and they weren't really being persecuted. The reason that there was resistance and abrasion to Mormonism is because the Mormon leadership wouldn't follow the laws of the land. They made up their own laws, and they refused to abide by local law, state law, and federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why the Mormons were driven from state to state to state. It was not because of religious persecution, but that's what I was taught,
mm-hmm.
that's what I believed,
mm-hmm.
and it took the facts and the evidence to show that simply wasn't the truth.
That just wasn't true. Yeah. And one of the realizations I came to after I became a Christian was studying Jesus. I was interested to find out where the Bible taught that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. And, of course, I found out that Jesus Christ is the Creator God, and there's no way they're brothers.
He created all things.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe that's one of the reasons they were persecuted. Look what they did to Jesus. Look what they did to God. I mean, mm-hmm. they so demean mm-hmm. who he is by definition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about Joseph Smith telling the women that he was threatened by an angel with the flaming
sure.
sword if
yeah.
he didn't. Did you hear that story when you were a Mormon?
No. I know about it now, but I never heard
not,
that.
Not as LDS.
You know, mm-hmm. never.
Well,
because,
too.
See, I didn't, in my upbringing, of course, I would never have heard that because Joseph didn't practice polygamy. Those women were added to him after his death.
Of course.
Polygamy was only practiced in Utah when I got to Salt Lake. So I would never and never did hear that. Now, in my studies to prove Mormonism was true is when this information came out. And, of course, it's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the pressure of these women, young girls, mm-hmm. and or even older women
or
that
Emma,
were under.
Who read Section 132.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the thing that amazes me is that those, like Rocky, they don't read it. They don't study
right.
it, because if they did, I read it, and I remember reading it and thinking to myself, my goodness, how can you not see this? That literally, he was saying, you're going to die, Emma, if you don't
destroyed.
Obey.
And you know what? That's what the polygamy groups do today. I was raised with that. You will be destroyed. You will become a son of perdition
right.
if you don't agree to practice
yeah.
the
mm-hmm.
polygamy.
And you're
they still do
the
it.
Son of perdition,
mm-hmm.
and he's a son of perdition, and which is so amazing to me. It's for two different reasons,
mm-hmm.
but yet you were threatened with that and believed that.
Mm-hmm.
And he
but
had
it's
that
a point of leverage that is used.
It's fear mongering.
Absolutely,
and it was a fearful thing to think of something, especially as a child.
Yeah, being cast mm-hmm. into outer darkness, and
mm-hmm.
you know, being a
and
son of perdition.
No
absolutely,
hope of mm-hmm. ever getting out of that.
Sure,
right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Did you realize that the Mormon fundamentalists? No, you wouldn't have believed that. Their belief is closer to true Mormonism than the Mormons. Yes.
Well, no, I realize it now because when I look at it now, they truly are following what Joseph taught. I mean, if you look at Section 132 and the Manifesto, I mean, give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
The Manifesto says, to whom it may concern.
Yeah. Yeah.
132 says, thus saith the Lord. If you are a true believing Mormon, which holds more weight? Mm-hmm. Thus saith the Lord, or?
Mm-hmm. To whom it may concern.
To whom it may concern. I mean, and I'm being flippant, but that is what it says. And you can look at it logically and think it through to its logical conclusion. To whom it may concern can have no bearing compared to thus saith the Lord.
I had a call from a woman after we did a show on Section 132, and she called me and talked to me, and she was very upset because the manifesto in her mind is a revelation from God, and I was mm-hmm. trying to explain that to her. She got very upset with me. I said, you know what you need to do? Just check it out.
Just read it.
Just find out. I don't need to check it out. I'm a Mormon. I don't need to check it out, you know, and that was the
end.
Just read it.
But that's the mind.
That's what the words say.
But that's the
mind.
And
words mean things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So that's the mind control, that the thinking has been done.
Right.
When they speak.
And they trust. Yeah.
And they trust.
Absolutely.
They're trusting their eternity to a system.
We are running out of time here, but I have a question I want to ask you. Can you answer it really, really quick?
I don't know about that.
On your website, you have a short film clip where Bob Millett says that the LDS already know more about God than their attackers. I'm sure the Mormon fundamentalists can say the same thing. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that in 45 seconds or less?
45 seconds or less.
Over here.
take a look at what the Bible says. Yep. And you will find Mormonism to be in absolute contradiction to the Bible. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, my word will not pass away. Was Jesus lying?
Thank you very much. The Bible knows more about God than any of the Mormon missionaries. Thank you so much for coming tonight. We appreciate it so much. And my closing remarks, I want to talk about Joseph Smith. He's the one that started Mormonism, and he's the one that started Mormon polygamy. He taught that you had to live polygamy or be damned. And other Mormon church leaders said that Mormonism would not survive if they ever gave up polygamy. And guess what? That's exactly what happened, because the Mormon church of today is nothing like the Mormon church that Joseph Smith developed. The Bible calls it turning from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, when anyone turns to God for the truth. And that's what we all need to do. He invites us to turn to Him for salvation, not to a church. There's no church on this planet that God has appointed as a means of salvation. There's no works, there's no efforts, there's no lifestyle, there's no geographical area, there are no other truths, and there is no sacrifice sufficient to save. Salvation, in God's terminology, simply means retrieved from going to hell, saved from the penalty of our own sins. It doesn't mean resurrection, where everybody receives salvation because you're resurrected. That is a devilish lie. You know, God wants everyone who's under the banner of Joseph Smith to turn and begin your own journey for the truth. Jesus is the light of the world. The Mormon church does not offer that, and neither do the polygamy groups. So why not leave behind the bondage of all of your pitiful efforts and just come to God's grace and to His mercy, repent, ask for forgiveness, embrace the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. Thank you for watching our show tonight, and we hope to see you next week on Polygamy, What Love Is This. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This. This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes, as well as download audio episodes of this program, at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org, or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again. Mm-hmm.